Shabbat. So we're starting now with Chavetz Chaim. Let's see the Chavetz Chaim. What's Chavetz Chaim today? The best defense. It's not my defense. See the Chavetz Chaim also. What's the best defense? What's the best defense? Imagine you existed a spiritual secret which would ensure that all your actions would be viewed in heaven in a positive light. Imagine heavenly angels would come to your defense and would work to find excuses for your sins. Amazingly, whatever excuse they would offer would gain favor in the heavenly court. The defense would result in your acquittal in many instances, and even when the verdict was guilty, you would be dealt with mercifully. Surely, you would be anxious to hire a legal team, even pay millions of dollars to receive this sort of defense. In truth, anyone can obtain these defense lawyers at no charge whatsoever. If you want. You want? Like these guys? If we judge a fellow man favorably, then in heaven we are judged favorably. To the extent that we seek to find excuses for our fellow man's behavior, the heavenly angels would seek to find excuses for us. This is a primary benefit, but surely not the only one, of judging others favorably. The positive commandment of the tzaddik tishpat amitach yishlom, with righteousness you shall judge your fellow, requires one to judge favorably and see his actions in a positive light. The circumstances can easily be judged favorably. One is absolutely required to do so. If circumstances lean towards negative interpretation, nevertheless, it's quite correct to keep an open mind on the matter and not to decide the person is guilty. This is all when a person is considered a Beinoni, an average person, in his midst of observance. He is known to be a God-fearing Jew, and one is required to judge him favorably even when circumstances lead towards guilt. Right, so what are we saying? We're saying, what's the mitzvah of being down like Avtzchot? So how does it work? If I'm looking at an average person, he's average, not, so then if I'm looking at an average person, if he did something which I could very easily judge favorably, I have to judge him favorably. If he does something which is leaning more to being guilty, then I don't have to, but I should try to judge him favorably. This is by a Beinoni. By an average person, if he's doing something which he seems guilty, then I don't have to judge him. It's better. But if the person is righteous, even if it looks like he's doing something wrong, it's still to be down on custom. So already in this room is considered righteous. So even if it looks like he's doing something wrong, it's still to be down on the custom.
Even if it is something wrong, then
That's the Chazal say. If you first see a Talmud Chacham do Avera, should know, even if you didn't do that Avera, you should know that by the time it came nighttime, you're ready to Tshuva. Chazal say. It's fine. The Chavis Chaim says there's no question that the judging favor unfavorably is the great machine that drives the Lashon Hara machine. It's the great engine that drives the great Lashon Hara machine. But the Torah requires us to make allowances for people who don't live up to our expectations of them. By judging others favorably, we'll guarantee ourselves great reward in this world and the next world. Our lives will be fitter, free of strife and low in anger as we become kinder, more understanding individuals. Basically, if Dalek comes to other people, will be calmer in this world, won't be so heated. And also, in the next world, also, will help us to get a good lawyer system. A good system to always look to give us the benefit of the doubt. Even in this world, even now. It's worth it to be Dalakav Schos. And especially, it will save us from speaking Lashon Hara. It's worth it. So just by fulfilling this mitzvah of judging favorably, this ends up saving us from doing Averis. You like that?
Good.
Now today, as Hashem, a new week, a new start. The start for the Mishnah to have a test. Come on, days.
That's 9B.
time be. We'll start with the Mishnah. Let's see the Mishnah. New Mishnah. Rabbi, got it?
Yeah.
Oh. Lehechol Gaelus. Where do you go to Gaelus? We're talking about the whole parak, the whole first parak, and now you go to Gaelus, you go to Gaelus, you go to Gaelus. Where's Gaelus? Where do you go to Gaelus?
Where in the
Gaelus?
Where in the
Gaelus?
Now it's six places. Lehechol Gaelus.
Oh,
no?
Oh, I think I know that before you said that. 4 years. See. Good. So let's see. If Aaron's here, but everybody. Yeah. 3 and 3. God. Hey, look at it. Where do you go to go? So what do we mean to say? We say the Ari Mikla, you go to the Ari Mikla. Where are the Ari Mikla? Where are these cities of refugee? Go to the Miklat, whole city of refugees. Lehechol Gaelus, where are you? L'shalosh she'be'Ibrahim. There are three on the other side of the Jordan. L'shalosh she'be'Eretz Kanaan. Three in Eretz Kanaan, which is Eretz Yisrael. Well, Eretz Kanaan, it used to be Eretz Kanaan. Now it's that there are three in Eretz Kanaan. Good. So all together, there are six Ari Miklat. There are six main cities of refugees. Right? Good, line 9b, the new Mishnah. So we said, where do you go to Gaelus? You go to Gaelus, there's six places to run to. Six cities of refuge. Fine. So I want to know. All the way from what you think. So where do you go to Ari Mikla?
I missed a few rockets to get here, but I
know my shelter,
by the way.
Fine. No, sorry. We'll try to learn. Fine. Well, here's where you go. Where do you go to Gaelus? So Ari Mikla to Ari Mikla. Shalosh ve'Ira Yadin. There are three on one side of the Yadin. L'shalosh Eretz Kanaan is six and three in the other Eretz Kanaan. Shenemar. Now, how do we know you make this amount? Shenemar, like it says. What does it say? Shenemar, as shalosh ha'aron. We have a pasuk. The pasuk says, as shalosh ha'aron, three cities, tibnu me'ever liyadin. Three cities put on the other side of the yadin. So as shalosh ha'aron, tibnu me'ever liyadin, and the other three should put on Eretz Kanaan. So the pasuk says, you should put three and three. However, Israel, before, until three were chosen, and the three were chosen to be and separated in Eretz Israel. But how you shalosh be'er yadin come? The other three on the other side of the yadin did not absorb yet. Which means what? Which means there were 14 years between when Klai Israel. After they fed, they were on the other side of the Jordan when they crossed the Eretz Yisrael, until they captured the entire Eretz Yisrael and split it up, that process took 14 years. So those 14 years, since the new three, the three Arabic and Eretz Yisrael were not yet active, because it was only active once everybody was settled in Eretz Yisrael, everybody was settled in, after the line was closed with the Sidur Rashi. That's what they understood for themselves. Therefore, the other three in the Eretz Yisrael were also not active. They cannot be used as Ari Miklats. Right? They weren't active. You couldn't run there to get saved. Nachon? So what would happen if you kill a guy by mistake in all those years? What happens? Even the other side wasn't good. Say, as long as the three in Eretz Yisrael were not active, they weren't split up and activated, the first three in the other side also were not active. So what do you do all those years? It's not like they didn't have this whole halacha of the Gaelus Adam. There's no halacha to go to Ari Miklat. It seems like you also wouldn't have the whole halacha of the Gaelus Adam could kill you. This whole halacha was once that Ari Miklat were active, now there's all that. So what do we say?
Also, the Israelites were supposed to be fighting on the other side.
They were there, but their families were outside. Yeah, but It's true. They were fighting on the other side.
Well, no one was there.
No, there were people living there. Their family, women and children. Fine. But let's say, but Moshe Rabbeinu, you know the Gemara says that Moshe Rabbeinu, who split the first three Arabiklets that were outside Eretz Yisrael? Moshe Rabbeinu split them up. Is Gemara in? Matos. We get to it. Not the three on.
Okay, but that's also.
So the Gemara is going to say. The Gemara is going to say.
Why isn't
the Gemara saying one had one? Well, that's the Gemara. The Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying that they did have the split rights. It's all protecting them, so they killed more people.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to say this too.
The Mishnah.
You're not bothering me. What the Mishnah says? Gemara.
The Mishnah says. Very Gemara.
Everybody relax. Fine. So what's going on? We said the six camp the refugee you could run to. Three in on the other side of the island and three in Eretz Yisrael. Just say that who split the first three? Who split the first three? The ones outside Eretz Yisrael were split by Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? So even though you couldn't do the whole mitzvah, you did whatever you can. And which were the three in Eretz Yisrael? Who split them? Who set them up? Yeshua split them. So even until the three of Yeshua were active, the other three would not work.
Were they built?
Were they built?
Were the cities built?
In Eber, they were already there.
I mean, on both sides.
What do you mean on both sides?
Well,
they didn't conquer the land yet and split it up yet, until, meaning once they finished conquering and splitting up the land and building everything on the side of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they set up these 30 Ari Miklas, then the other three on the other side of the Jordan became active.
So the other three were already built.
They were built right away. Moshe Rabbeinu already took care of them. Moshe Rabbeinu in his lifetime, he did as much of the mitzvah as he can. Hashem told him, we're going to need six Ari Miklas, but you can only do three now. He said, I want to do whatever I can. So he went and did three. Right? He went and did three.
Outside
of Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come into Eretz Yisrael. He did those three. Yeshua came in afterwards, and once they conquered it, after 14 years, he set up the other three. And once,
it took 14 years,
until they conquered everything and split it up. And once they did that, then, once the three in Eretz Yisrael were active, the other three also, on the other side of the island, also became active. That's what we say over here. So, let's see Mishnah again. Ad Shalai Nivra Rushalish for Eretz Yisrael. Until they were not yet chosen and split up, the three in Eretz Yisrael, they were not active yet. Why Rushalish, they were the three. They were the Eber Hayar, the cultists, they were not absorbed. You can't go, they weren't active, the ones on the other side. Shenema, the Pasuk says, Sheish Ari Miklat Tiyan. You need to have six Ari Miklat. So we understand from the Rehekish, Ad Shiyu, Atuli Shishi, Shishtan, Kultus Ka'ahan. All six of them should absorb like one, meaning at one time. And until all six could be active together, then nothing works. It's all or nothing. So the Torah made a hekesh. We compared all six to each other. So you understand from there, only once all six are active, only once all six are set up, all six could be active. Got there, Byron? Sounds good? Cool. Let's see Rashi on the first day of the Mishnah. That's first halacha of our Mishnah. Let's see Rashi. The first Rashi of the Mishnah. Actually, Nifcharu Shalosh for Eretz Kanan. Until they were not yet chosen, the three in Eretz Kanan. Rashi says, "Hainu, this is Kol Arba Esrei, all 14, meaning all 14 years. Shekavshu Arba Esrei, Rashi means all 14 years. All 14 years, Shekavshu Bechalku, that they were capturing, Kavish is to capture, Bechalku and splitting up. All 14 years, it was all 14 years that." They were capturing and splitting up. The other got them afterwards, Hevdil and Yeshua split them. Then, as until all those three were set up, Lahayu Shalosh Shehidol Maisha, the three which Maisha set up, the Ibrahim, the cultists, the three that Maisha Rabbeinu set up on the other side of the Jordan, they would not absorb, they could not be used as Aramith, they were not active Ari Miklats. Then why? Where do we know that from? We see from the Apostle. Pasuk compares all six Ari Miklats, so we understand that they're all six. They all have to work together. They're all one big story. But that's the first halacha of our mission. So far, so good. Fine. Let's see the next thing. Umefuvanais my hand dropped him. There it is, you got it. The Rabbanan Shel Olam dropped him. Mizulism. They would have paths. The problem is that would be directed. So the director Rambam says, even though it sounds like Mizulism, it's from this one to the next one, so it doesn't really mean for one Ari Miklat. It means there would be paths with signs on them that would say Ari Miklat. They would direct the person from all the cities to the Ari Miklat. Right? There would be big signs that would say on it Miklat with the arrow.
Ah, so Rambam says it's not actually connected to Ari Miklat?
Yeah, everybody says, yes. Rambam says not from one Ari Miklat to the next. It means from one, all the cities to Mizulism, it's from the cities to the Ari Miklat.
We learned that we thought maybe they made paths specifically from Ari Miklat to Ari Miklat. Not like that.
So I'm saying like Rashi doesn't sound like anybody learned this so far. I mean, they're written over here, and it's anybody who learns that means Pashup, that means from this one to that one. They ask out why the Mishnah is such a fitting Pirsa, but they say it means Mizulzu means from this, from their cities, until the Ari Miklat. There were big paths all over. Big signs that say Miklat, Miklat, like these that you see Miklat, that's where they got it from. Right, these that you see is yeah, on the highway, Miklat. Yep.
Yeah,
I think
you have to do that, right?
What?
You have to put signs out,
say
where you're going,
English
and Arabic and Hebrew.
Fine. Anyway, they have to have something that's directing them from one to another. That doesn't mean it's directing. Which means there were signs that were directing a person. Let's say a guy was going to kill the guy by mistake. Is that a sign that directs him how to get there very fast, to get there as quick as possible? Right, not start stopping in the way, asking directions. But if he's busy asking directions, the Goel Adam, right, the relative, the person who killed him, might come shoot him and say, well, how do I get there? The guy says, the relative say, make the wrong turn and shoot him. So therefore, you have to have signs throughout the whole city directing the person to get to the army. She never, like what the Pasuk says, Tachin Lecha, you should prepare for you, Hadar, you should prepare for you the road, Vishilashta, and split it into three. And over there, that Pasuk is referring to what? The puzzle is referring to, we're going to say soon, should split into three the borders which Hashem gave you. We're going to see soon. And you should split it up, and you should put the Ari Miklat's equidistance, which we're going to see soon. We'll talk about it soon. So that's the next halakha. Good? First of all, make three and three. They're only acting together. Secondly, to have signs directing a person to the Ari Miklat in a city of refugee, he knows where to run. You should like divide into three the quarters of your head. Good. Tastapa says you should make the Ari Miklat. You should split it up into Shilash means you split it into three, which we're missing to say soon about that splitting up. You split up the Ari and Miklas, they have to each be equidistant from each other. So basically, at the end of the mission, we're going to focus on that halacha on the shilash, that is splitting into three. Good, we're going to end at the end of the mission. Good, so that's the second halacha. They have their arrows and somebody leading the person to the Ari Miklas. Next halacha, the mission says, let's see the next rule. U'maitre lahen shnei tamid chacham. You give to them, the guy who's running the Ari Miklas, two tamid chacham. Give him two rabbis, two tamid chacham. Why? Shema Yargenu Bazarach, maybe they'll kill him on the road. Which means maybe they'll want to kill him. Let's say the relative of the person who he killed. What's that halacha? What's that halacha of Gola Adam?
Gola Adam, spiller of blood?
No, Gola Adam is the redeemer. The relative of the person who got killed. The relative of that person has the right to kill the killer. That's all. You can kill the killer. Correct? But now, what do? We send with the guy with the murderer.
That's only if he leaves the army.
No, or until he gets there. That's if he leaves the army, or until he gets there.
Once he's in there, he can't.
No, once he's in there, he can't. The other way. We give the murderer two to the chacham to go with him to Ari Miklat. Why? Shem Yagen with that. Because maybe the Gol Adam, the redeemer of the blood, one of the relatives of the person who got killed, will want to kill him on the road. The Adam is like, they'll speak to him. Means they'll talk about him. They'll talk about it. They'll tell him, don't worry, it was a mistake. This guy didn't do it on purpose. He didn't kill your son on purpose. You know, just relax. Don't kill him. And Rahman said to him, so Tilda Ben Racham could try to persuade the relatives of the person who got killed not to kill the murderer. Good? fun. So according to this, who's supposed to speak to the Goel Adam? The rabbis. Leave it up to the rabbi. You, murderer, just be quiet and let the rabbi speak to him and try to calm him down. Rabbi Meir says no. Who medaber al yidei atzmo? He also speaks for himself. He could also try to start talking to the guy, tell him relax. Shenema, like it says, the zed devar eretzei. So it seems pashup shah that Rabbi Meir is not necessarily arguing. Is Rabbi Meir arguing with Tanakama? Is he agreeing with them? What does Tanakama say? First opinion. Give him a tool to be a chacham. Good. What does Rabbi Meir say?
He
just speaks. Now, is he arguing? Is he saying, just don't tell him to be a chacham, let him argue on his own? It sounds like Rabbi Meir is not really arguing. Rabbi Meir is saying also, the first thing he told, tell him just to be quiet, don't try to, you know, just be quiet. The guy might shoot him if he's going to start talking. The man says, no, let him, he could also try to speak up, say, listen, it was on purpose, I didn't mean it, I'm sorry, forgive me. He could also try to speak up, according to Rameh. Good? So he says, that's what the Pasuk says. Why does Rameh say he should speak himself? Because if you read the Pasuk, what does the Pasuk say? The Zed Devar HaRetzeh. And these are the words of the murderer. So it's not like the murderer himself to try to get out of it with words. That is the third element. What? So I'll tell you, this Pasuk Pshat is that, I don't know if the Ritzeach over there is referring to that he's arguing with the Goel Adam. It sounds like over there he's like arguing to Bestin. The Ritzeach says that it wasn't on purpose, I never hated it. So the simple Pshat in the Pasuk is the Ritzeach is referring to Bestin. He tells the Bestin that it wasn't on purpose, it was by mistake. We're also making you trust a little bit the same, because that Ritzeach means the Ritzeach should be talking. You try to also convince the Goel Adam also to get out of it. But that's what Rameh wants to say. Because the Ritzeach is also referring to the murderer when he's talking to the guy who wants to kill him. The sole meaning of the Pasuk is he's talking to Bestin. He's telling Bestin, I didn't do it on purpose.
What is Rashi? That's
what
he gets from the Rashi?
Is Hebrew
alive? He says.
What does Rashi mean? Dabrilo. See Rashi. The fifth line of Rashi. Dabrilo speaks to him. Who does he speak to? He speaks to Agual Adam. The Agual Adam means the killer himself should speak to the Agual Adam. But everyone should tell him, I'll tell him, but I'm just sorry for a second. Mr. Rashi going, the first Rashi going, the rabbi speaks in. Ve'itabru elav.
This is the
Tanakh. Yeah. Because they said, the Pasuk says, ve'itabru elav.
Right.
That they should speak to him. It's plural. Who's they? Al-Gualad, they should speak to the Gualadah.
The Talmud
should speak to him. They should tell him, I really, they should say to him, Al tinag boy, don't act with him minak shif dumb like the murderer's act, right? Don't kill him. You're gonna kill him in cold blood, right? If you're killing him, you, Mr. Relative, you're acting like a murderer. Don't be like a murderer. You don't be like a murderer, because Bishkago by mistake, Bob Meisel Liyadah this actually came to his hand by mistake. So according to that, we said then he. But since Tanakam said they should have been a chum speak to him, then Rameh said, no, Ahu medaber al-yidei atzmo, he should speak for himself. Like the Pasuk says, Vedvar Haritzeh. So even to the murderer, even to the redeemer of the blood, he should also, the murderer himself, to try to convince them. Good, that's his drush. Fine, that's the third halacha of Aisha. Yeah, so what we said, the six are miklas, meet together, to have signs guarding a person, leading a person to our miklas, and you give it to him to the chum, and Rameh says, no, he could also speak to himself.
Right.
Good. Come to the fourth halacha of the Mishnah. What do you say? Rabbi Yezid bar Yehuda. Rabbi Yezid bar Yehuda says the following: B'tchila, in the beginning of the story, right when someone kills another guy and he says by mistake, Echa shogeg ve'echa amazing, whether a person is shogeg or amazing, my female Ari Mikla, just run to the Ari Mikla. You kill a guy, run to the Ari Mikla. Run the, even if you kill him on purpose, and we bet you're guilty. Every person who kills another person, just run to the Ari Mikla. And then what happens? Bestin sends like messengers. Ravi and Aysan, they bring him Misham from there, from the Ayman Club. He should try to say, the Bestin. Sorry. They bring it from the good. So right away, a person kills another guy by mistake, first thing you do is, and even if it was on purpose, run to the Iron Mikvah. Just run, run. Good? Run to the city of Rim. Now, what happens afterwards? Festus sends a messenger after you to go bring you back to the Festin in your city where the story happened. Good? Now what do we do? Misha is chayiv, misha the Festin. If we come after you, chayiv, misha the Festin, you killed on purpose. Hargu, then Festin killed him. Good? Shalom is chayiv misha. If he's not chayiv misha, Patu will make a potter. Misha is chayiv gold. If the person we come out and best in the guy has to go to gold. Nachsir is still going, we've turned to this place to gold. Shnei, like it says, Vashiva oisaya edel imichot. We turn to imichot. He's referring to someone who killed by mistake. Let's see Rashi. The widest line, the bottom, first widest line. What's Rashi? Koymar. Chilas mishpat, the beginning of the judgment of Kol Rashi, all the murderers. Vatil Mezi, even if a person is amazing, even if it didn't have purpose, then should everybody just run to our mikvah. The Yal Tavim Sefri, we learned in the Sefri Tvei Rav. So what are we saying here? So we're saying that the Yal Tavim Sefri Tvei Rav, Mivah Arvin, Nasal Acha. So really like this. I kind of like this. If you read the pasuk, this pasuk really comes from, where does this pasuk come from? Devarim. Pause for a second. Where is this pasuk? The pasuk is in. Where is this pasuk?
What
pasuk is in? That's where Rashi was at. What does Rashi mean there? Rashi says, how do we know that even a mazik should run to best? Right? What's our Mishnah say? What's our Mishnah say? Even if the guy kills on purpose, the first thing you should do is run to the Iron Mikvah. Then afterwards, we'll figure out were you a shaggy, were you amazing. Everyone should run to Iron Mikvah. That's what we said, right? Even if the guy knows for sure he didn't amaze it, run to Iron Mikvah. Anyways, we'll take you out. We'll figure out your story afterwards. Everybody should run to Iron Mikvah. That's the law. Why? Because Rashi brings for the three the pasuk. It says, "What Rashi said again? What Rashi said? Chila, Koyma, Chila's mishpat, the beginning of the judgment of all the murderers. Even if it was on purpose, is to run to Iron Mikvah."
Right.
That's the first thing you have to do. If you're murdered, okay, we'll kill you afterwards. The first thing on you is you got to run to Iron Mikvah. You have time to further be. We learned it in Sefer Dvei Rav. It's Sefri. Meva Orav Loi. It says he ambushed him in Nasal Acha, because that was referring to someone who killed on purpose. Referring to someone who killed on purpose. Here's the pasuk. What does it say? It says if a person has an enemy and he ambushes and he kills him, he should run to one of these cities. And then the Zekin of the ear should come and get it and give it to the Gol Adam, to the relative of the person who he killed. So said in the pasuk, sailing from the pasuk, even someone who kills on purpose, he should run to Best. Run to Ari Mikvah. And then Best calls him back, and then we kill him or whatever we do with him. Then either go to Golos or do nothing or kill him. That's what we decide. Every person, the first thing is if you kill on purpose, your first judgment against you gotta run to Ari Mikvah.
Why can't you kill on purpose?
Someone killed on purpose. Who went and killed someone on purpose?
I don't think it's this man.
That's the case. If you killed it, that's a pasuk. Read the pasuk. The im. What's the pasuk? The chiyah ish. When you have a man who said he hates somebody, but arav lai, he ambushes him, he killed him, the mason he died, you should run to one of these cities. And said they send him to the community where they take him from here, and they give him to the very low down. So you shouldn't have mercy on him, you should remove the blood. This guy is spilled blood, remove this guy. Remove this guy from within you. So you've heard that guy, killed the mason. That's the case. And even so, that's our mission says. Let's see the last case of our mission.
Makes sense.
Why not?
The
Gol
Adam doesn't get amazed.
What do you
mean the Gol Adam doesn't get amazed yet?
Of course he does. Says who kills him? If someone kills the mason, who kills him? Let's say a guy killed the mason.
Yeah.
The guy went and he killed the mason. He killed our purpose.
Amazing
though. So they give the Gol Adam to kill him.
It's a puzzle. Can't kill him because they give society if he did it amazing.
If he did it amazing, then also the best thing called the Gol Adam and they kill him. That's the cause of God, not killing. It's the pasuk says. Where's the pasuk again?
It has to be a trial.
If it was a good, in a case where there was a trial, and it comes out that it was on purpose, then best to kill him. But who they give the right to kill him? They give the God down the guy's relative, that he's the shliach bessah, he's the chief executioner, and he kills the other guy.
Why would the major run to look at the...
That's halacha. The first halacha is everybody has to run, especially if the guy's not sure. First of all, like this, you're saying, let's say the guy that we're not sure he's a shaggy or he's amazing, we don't know what he is. Right? So now, like this. If it was a shaggy, cut it like this. If the guy did it by mistake, right? Then the Gwaldam has the right to kill him.
Right.
Until he gets to the Ari Nikol.
So then, this is conflicted with what we just had, where the two Thomas of Chumri, convinced. Say to the Goladam that
they
tell to the Ruseya
they
tell the Goladam, yeah?
They tell the Goladam
that maybe it was my mistake.
That is not good. Fun. They tell
you. You're saying the Mazid even runs to the.
Again, what happens like this? What happens? A guy, he killed. Fine? He killed someone, we don't know if I'm stable on purpose. What happens? He should run to Ari Mikla. Good? He runs and knows him in the fight, he just runs for his life. That's first. Now he gets it. Fine. Everybody goes in. Bays the shaykh. Fine, he gets it. Now, Bessman pulls the guy out, they call him back to get judged. Let's say now, it came out as a shaykh. It was a mistake. Right? Now, the minute we got out as a mistake, right, order in the court, it was by mistake. So now, from here until he gets to the Ari Mikla back, the Baal Adak can kill him. He's out of a safety zone.
That's
when we said he's stupid in the Chacham. The first time he just runs for his life. The first time he kills somebody, you're shugging, run for your life. Yeah, not waiting after anything, run for your life. And even if you're amazing also, the halacha is you have to wait in Ari Mikla until we trial you.
If it's a shugging, then they assign the two, and then...
Right, the best is you're shugging, send you right before we said you're shugging.
Yeah. They convince the guy to slow down.
That's what it is.
Okay, got it.
Go, Jeremiah, you got the story? A guy killed somebody. We don't care if it's on purpose or by mistake. Even if a guy knows for sure he did it on purpose, your first judgment on you is you got to run to the Ari Mikla. So it says, Chilas Mishpat, the first judgment against you is you have to run to the Ari Mikla. Even if you know you did it on purpose, you have to run to the Ari Mikla. Wait until Bessie pulls you back. They're going to send a messenger. If you don't worry, they're going to send a guy to pull you out. They bring you back. Then they trial you. If you came out and you did it on purpose, they kill you. Or they let you go. Right? If they see maybe it was on purpose, but we had no witnesses, go free. If we decided to go to college, we can tell you to go to college with two witnesses.
So then Zin have to wait a certain number of time in the end of the club before he and Zin have to come?
No, until whenever Besta decides to get you, they fetch you, You go to Ari Mikla first, so wait there until Besta fetches you.
It may not be 18. Let's say there's no way
to get that also, Besta is going to eventually gonna pull you back to get trial. If we have no agent, then we'll say, fine, this is no agent, we can't kill you, so go free, go home. If there's no agent, we'll tell you to go home. Hashem's going to take care of you, Golas is going to help you. And then, that's so again, we have in our mission four different halachas. The first one is that the Ari Mikla are only active. First of all, you go to the Ari Mikla. So where do you go? It's interesting, our mission wants to know where you go. Feel the chuk of saying, but. And it says, like, where do you go? You go to Ari Mikla. So one of the six Ari Mikla. We said they're only active once they're only all six active together. But that was the first halacha we said. Then we said another halacha. Bessin has to put signs, correct? And they have to put signs and make the roads. So also we'll see the Gemara also, and there's other Gemara also speak about, to bring down to the bottom here, that says that on test of Adar, you know, the Gemara, the Mishnayos and the Megillah talk about different things that Bessin would do. Right? There were different times they would do. The Shkodesh Adar, they would do the Shkala and different things. On test the 15th of Adar, Besta would send out repairmen to go check out, make sure all the roads are paved, and there's nothing, no stumbling blocks, no roads, you know, they got, since over the past year, over the winter, could have been the stones on the road, or, you know, the guys would be a big tree on the road, and that they get to clear the roads, and make bridges, we need bridges over the rivers, to go repair the roads from all the areas until the Ari Mikla, to the six Ari Mikla, to all the, you know, to show be the three Ari Miklas. That would be a job. So that's why Besta has a halacha. They have to make sure that the signs of the roads, they have to make sure there's good roads, nice paved roads, that pavement then, whatever they had, to make sure that it was going to, that everything was clear to the Ari Mikla. That's the next halacha. So that's really a halacha for on Besta. It's not so much for the person, the second halacha in the Mishnah is for Besta. The Besta is required to make roads, and the city council put up signs saying Miklat, 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 and then everybody should go to the Ari Mikla. That's the second halacha. What was the third halacha? third halacha was?
Maybe
it
should be divided into
threes, divided into thirds. So that really we said, like, our mission
didn't
speak
that
clearly. So our mission is interesting, so our mission didn't speak that clearly.
The top of this, no?
But we didn't really, that was like while we were bringing down the pasuk, we wrote it in. It wasn't like the main halacha we read it for. It said that when they make the signs, that they should make the signs. Right, I guess it's coming out, we really say you should make the signs. So we really wrote down the pasuk said, which we're going to see soon in the Gemara, that they were split it up evenly, meaning everything is equidistant from each other. Because let's say the whole thing would be 50 miles, the whole Yisrael, the whole place, right? So there would be 10 miles from the border till the first Ari Mikla. So again, on the one, 10 miles from the first Ari Mikla to the second Ari Mikla. Right? 10 miles from the second to the third. What? No, there's going to be five. There's going to be five, because if you go from the first border to the first Ari Mikla, you're always starting from a border.
No, you go from the south.
Four sections.
No, five sections.
Three have only two sections between them.
What is the last one?
One south and two between. You're dividing Israel into four equal sections.
I know, I remember five. Not three. What, you say the question is?
40 miles, right.
What's the different one?
South to the first one is
from
10.
From the northern border to the first year Miklat, 10
it's
miles.
10.
From the first year Miklat to the second, another 10.
From the second to the third, to the northern border.
Yeah, but where's this one? You need 10 for the border to the year, no?
I remember.
But why didn't you need 10 for the original border to the first one? Well, we'll see. I don't want to finish the question for it. Fine. We'll see. What? Okay. Fine. Let's see. We'll see the question. Our Rav says 40, we'll count the question right now. What do I thought? We'll see tomorrow. I don't know. I thought you need from the border to the next. We'll see. Let's see.
Just from the south to the first one, from the first one to the second, second to the third, and the third to the north. So. Four sections.
Right, so it's 4. Good, fine, perfect, good. Right, 4 is the end of 4 sections. Good. Let's see now the Gemara. So, oh, fine. Yes, so that was the third halacha. We said, also, and we're good to know. Everybody always has to run to our Mikla. No matter what, you got to run to our Mikla. Those are the 4 halachas of our mission. Good. You go to our Mikla, with the rabbi, we make 6 our Mikla, we said that you have to make roads, Chazal has to make sure there's roads, the best has to make sure there's roads. We say, you said to him, to with him when he goes. And that everybody always has to run to our mikla no matter what, even if you're a shogeg made it, and then afterwards we'll figure out what your story is.
Right.
Let's see now the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan. Shalish Aram Hibdo Maisha. There were 3 cities that Maisha separated. Be'ibra Yardin, on Ibra Yardin, on the other side of the Jordan. Go to 3 cities, Be'ibra Yardin. Right? Kenegdan Hibdo Yeshua Be'eretz Kanaan. And opposite them, Moshe, Yeshua made in Eretz Kanaan. The Mubanis, they were directly mechumen to each other. Came in, shtei shuris shebekarim, like 2 rows in a vineyard. They were mamish like 2 rows in a vineyard. They were perfectly adjacent, as it were, to each other. They were lined up. Yeah.
The
kilos, this one, the kilos? The means like kavanas, the context, like.
Ah, it's not like the kilos, the
two, no, each other?
No.
No. The means. They were directed, like they were concentrated to each other. Good. To say, the mechuvanes came in shtei shuris shebekarim, like 2 rows in a vineyard, perfectly. They were perfectly lined up with each other, right? It went 1, 2, 3, 2, right? The ones Moshe made and Yeshua made were they were to be on the same. You take it a map, you'll see they're the same. Fine. Well, I tell you, connected. Fine. Chavron b'Yehuda, Chavron which was in Yehuda, was connected. Batzah Shem Midbar. If you take out the map, will be connected. Batzah Shem Midbar. Shechem b'Har Ephraim. Shechem b'Har Ephraim.
Gentlemen, we have shear in here until 12 o'clock.
Okay, Tana Rabban. Shalish Aram Hivdo Maisha, let's see the Gemara again. There were 3 cities that Maisha separated by Ibrah Yardin, who connect them and opposite them, facing them, Hivdo Yeshua Baritz Kanaan. Mukhavanas Hayu, they were directed to each other, connected Kemin Shteshu Rishmakar. Chevron Yehuda, Chevron Yehuda, was connected, was facing Betzah Shem Midbar, Betzah in the Midbar, Shechem Bahar Ephraim, Shechem in the Har Ephraim, in Eretz Yisrael, was connected Ramah Shebagilot, Kadesh Bahar Naphtali, Kaddish and Av Tavi was connected Gedol and Shabbat Bashan. Right, that's what we see. Right. So we see that these three were connected to the other three. Now, what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says Mishilashta. So what do we see? Shehei Mishulashin. What does that mean? Which means that there should be three distances. All three distances should be equal between all of them. Which means what? Shehei Midarim L'Chevra. The amount of space from Darim, from all the way from the Darim of Eretz Yisrael until Chevra. Kin Chevra L'Shechem. The same exact distance from Chevra to Shechem. L'Chevra L'Shechem. Kin Shechem L'Kedesh. L'Shechem L'Kedesh. Kin L'Kedesh L'Tachah. So we're saying that all three spaces in between should be equal. There should be three spaces, they should all be equal to each other. But so I call this three spaces. From one border, then the middle, you can end up with three spaces in between them. That's what will come at. The three spaces in between all. Four spaces. Four spaces in between. You make three arguments. One space, two space, three space, four.
Right.
Good. Which is interesting that one was a mamash on the border. You have one on each border.
I one on the border. You have from the south, and then let's say 10 miles to the first one.
Good.
And then 10 miles to the second one. And then
good.
10 miles to the third one. And then 10 miles to
the
next
border. Good,
fine. You have a space in between.
Fine, there's a space. So it's coming out. This, how many spaces are you coming out?
It
should be five spaces, no?
No. From, let's say from the border to the first one is
one
space number one.
Good.
And then from the first or
the second
class,
one,
the second
two.
Space number two. And then from the second argument to the third argument,
three.
Three, and then the third
four.
And the fourth of
what is. Fine, right, so we have four. Fine, Shkayach. Why don't we try to see the Gemara again with the Rashi? Why don't we see it?
Yes.
Fine, Shkayach.